Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fardis.
Interesting testimony in the trial of Karen Reed as we wrapped up week number two. Some of the most interesting, I think, coming from some of the first responders in the case. And the defense of Karen Reed trying to paint them into a corner of not being legit, of maybe even perjuring themselves. Joining me to discuss, Eric Fardis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. Eric, before we get into some of these clips and hear some of the testimony from this last week, we're another week in. What's been some of your key takeaways on this case?
You know, going into it, I think a lot of people thought it may have been kind of a slam dunk in the sense that Karen Reed allegedly had given a confession saying, I hit him. Mm-hmm. That there's damage to her vehicle that some people argue is consistent with that. But as my dad has always said, that's why they play the game, because you never know what's going to happen at trial. And things have sort of played out in a way that have raised a lot of questions. And so I think that this jury is actively considering whether this is a conspiracy or whether it's a straightforward hit and run case where she killed her husband. And so I'm just surprised that there have been more questions than answers. And here we're sort of well into the trial.
Yeah, I mean, it just gets stranger and stranger. Let's take a look at firefighter Kate McLaughlin talking about her relationship with Caitlin Albert, who was one of the homeowners where the accident took place. And then we're going to kind of diverge into them trying to paint her as, well, can we take anything that she says seriously? Because I don't know how accurate she's being about that relationship that she may or may not have, or whatever it may be, with the homeowner Caitlin Albert. Let's take a look.
Ms. McLaughlin, who's Caitlin Albert?
I went to high school with somebody named Caitlin Albert.
Somebody named Caitlin Albert?
I went to high school with somebody named Caitlin Albert.
So do you know Caitlin Albert?
I do.
You're friends with Caitlin Albert?
I would say more acquaintances, not close friends.
Which can be totally legit, just being not close friends. But again, I mean, almost downplaying it too much, the awareness of this person, someone named Caitlin Albert. That's kind of bizarre. What was your takeaway from that?
You know, certainly a testimony that raised some eyebrows. You would think that if there was nothing problematic about that connection, she would say, oh, yeah, hey, I know Caitlin. I went to high school with her, and that's her. Instead, she's kind of trying to maybe evade the thrust of the question there and sort of dance around it. And I think that the impression that folks got is just more questions and more credence to kind of what the defense is putting forward.
And the thing is, it's like there's no real reason, it seems, to, unless there is a conspiracy here, to do that. I know she just thought, well, I want to distance myself because I don't want to be too connected to this. But that just ends up, like you said, raising more questions. Here's the reason why the defense wants to discredit her. It's because she's one of many who heard her saying, I did it. Let's take a look at that.
She answered who the patient was, his birthday. I think she answered the maybe some of those initial medical questions that I asked. She's very distraught. She was kind of moving around the scene a little bit. So I was just kind of following her. And then we came to a stop at one point, and I continued to ask her. Or I asked one more question.
What was that one more question?
So at that point, I asked her if there had been any significant trauma that happened before this.
What, if anything, did she say?
So she said, I hit him. She repeated it. There was a woman standing across from her who, I believe at that point, said, you're hysterical, you need to calm down, you're hysterical. She repeated, I hit him. And there was a police officer who was in that vicinity kind of with us who replied, you what? She repeated it one more time. And that officer then signaled to somebody, get Goody down here, which I'm assuming would be the sergeant.
So she's one of many who heard Karen Reed say that. So you knock one down, maybe. You still got all these other ones pop. It's like whack-a-mole. It's like we got to stop all these as quick as we can. How powerful is that testimony right there? And we'll hear, you know, why, you know, they believe that maybe there was a close relationship with the homeowner.
You know, I think it begins to become more compelling when it's combined with other testimony from another first responder who says Karen Reed admitted to hitting O'Keefe. You know, certainly these folks are impeachable in ways and there are ways to challenge their testimony. But the more the government sort of stacks on this admission from multiple folks, I think that could potentially tip the scales against Karen Reed.
Very much so. And trying to find a way to tip the scales or just, you know, put information out there. They're just trying to discredit everybody and kind of go in this idea that maybe there's a conspiracy or everybody's trying to cover for somebody. And they're doing it in interesting ways, ways that I don't know that they're really hitting the ball out of the park with.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free.
So you can binge on true crime.
Until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now. Or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.